Welcome to the show, everybody. I know I'm a little early, but that's okay. I have a wonderful guest with me today. This is Sharon Palmer. Hello, welcome, Sharon, to the show.
Hi. How's it going? Great to be here.
Yes, it's definitely a pleasure. I know personally, I am very excited to have you because I myself am vegan. I've been coined soy Jesus by a lot of the internet. We'll just say that. I didn't call myself that. It just, I guess because of my looks and the fact that I'm vegan, the two things came together and that's what it is now. So, yeah. You know, and that's interesting. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? And, you know, where, how did you, you know, become doing what you're doing now?
Yes. Well, I'm a registered dietitian. I've been a dietitian for almost 3 decades now. And I studied nutrition at Loma Linda University. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that is one of the blue zones in America where their diet has been linked with long life. And I was basically studied nutrition in a plant-based community, a plant-based college. The hospital was plant-based. So that was an interesting experience to study nutrition. And then I got my master's in sustainable food systems just a year ago. So I'm really passionate about plant-based nutrition and sustainability. And there are definitely some intersections there. I live in Ojai, California, which is this really beautiful community. I'm surrounded by small organic farms. So it's kind of, you know, just really reinforcing this connection that I have to good food, you know, local food, healthful food that's plant-based.
That's really amazing. I mean, and really, when you think about food, I mean, everybody eats, you know, it's the key to life. Like we need to eat. Seriously, civilizations have been built and revolve around food. The history of, you know, trade was because of food, you know, the whole spice trade, you know, back in the day. And I'm sure for hundreds of years before that, thousands maybe, you know, just it's all about eating, you know, eating right. So that's awesome. So you're in a, it's probably really easy to get some good organic, you know, food around you with all those organic farms. That's nice.
Yeah. In California, we have a Mediterranean climate. So we have availability of all of these amazing foods. So I'm really lucky to be living here where we just have this amazing variety of plant-based foods.
Nice. And I like that you have a focus in sustainability. That's really great because I do feel like we have to take that into consideration because if we have so many humans on this planet now, it's tripled in, I think, 80 years, tripled. And that's crazy. So we really have to cater and try to figure out how to produce food and in a sustainable way, or because the way we're going about it right now is definitely not good. I mean, I want to stay more on the nutrition side of it because I feel like we're at a crossroads right now. We can go and talk about many different things from that little blip there, but let's really dig into nutrition, you know? So let's start. What are the nutrients the human body really requires?
Basics? That's a really good question to start it out with because a lot of us didn't really learn these things in school, you know, about basic nutrition and even how to eat healthfully. We used to learn these things in school and it's been kind of cut out of the curriculum. Mm. So a lot of us really don't really even have the basic idea of how to eat healthfully. And yet diet along with healthy lifestyle could prevent 85% of chronic diseases, 85%. So that's how powerful diet and lifestyle is.
I believe we
can live longer. We can reduce our risks of things like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, and the list goes on. Alzheimer's, you know, neurodegenerative diseases. The list just goes on and on about how diet is impactful in these conditions. So you could literally live a longer, more vibrant. Even depression is linked with diet now.
Wow.
So there's so many reasons why. And really, you know, there's our beginning understanding of nutrition really came from deficiencies where scientists would study, like, for example, they found out the vitamin C. When you didn't get enough vitamin C, you developed scurvy, you know. And so these are kinds of that's how we started learning about nutrition. And so my kind of understanding and my education in nutrition really came from that environment. But now we really understand the prevention side of nutrition, that an overall healthy diet can help us live longer and live healthier lives. And so that has really shifted in the last couple of decades, or, you know, even more in the last decade.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way we understand this. But, you know, our foods contain all these different nutrients. You know, we have our macronutrients like fats and proteins and carbohydrates that we have to have for normal body function. And then we have the micronutrients, things like vitamins and minerals that we have to have. We know we need these to have healthy, normal functioning of our bodies. Okay. So foods contain these ingredients, but then they also contain some unhealthy ingredients. And that's mainly as a result of our modern food system, because we've been processing foods. So that's why, I mean, sugars are in balance. When you eat a fresh strawberry, those sugars in the fruit are in balance with all the nutrients. But then when you refine something and for example, beets and turn it into sugar, now it's just a completely isolated added sugar. And now we know that those ingredients aren't so good for us. So now we have these ingredients that aren't so healthy that are coming from our food supply.
So, wow, that's it really is the imbalance that society has made. And just, you know, shelf life, they just want it to last longer. So when they make a product, you know, we can, you know, you don't have to, it doesn't mold right away. I mean, you're surrounded by small farms. Is that really the answer? I've been saying for a while, like, why do people have grass? You know, why don't we just make gardens? And you can all of your neighbors, like, you can make the tomatoes, your neighbor can make the cucumbers, you know, the person across the street can grow corn. I don't know. I'm just, you know, coming up with random stuff. But I guess it really does boil down to, can we get those nutrients that we need from growing our own food? You know, because not everyone can even have livestock. I'm vegan, but there's a lot of people out there that they hear the word vegan and they instantly get, for lack of better words, triggered. You know, they're like, it's a defense mechanism. Like, whoa, like, you're trying to make me eat grass. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. You know, like, if we live in this world right now where we know what we need to eat to function as a human being, and we can get all of these nutrients from, you know, plants and vegetables and fruits, then why do we need to make it more of an imbalance? Because that's really what it is. It's an imbalance. You know, our whole system has been processed. Right. You know, so let's tell us about that. You know, well, you kind of shed a little bit of light on what we need. You know, we need fats, protein, carbohydrates. And then, of course, I think you said macro, like vitamins, vitamin B12, I know is a must. Different amino acids, right? So go ahead.
Yeah. So we need all of these nutrients in our foods. And I really love that you touched on the fact that, you know, if we just kind of ate real food, you know, we would be getting more of these nutrients. And indeed, when you look around diet patterns around the world, and what we call these indigenous diets or traditional diets, where you can still find diets, and I have seen these firsthand in different, food studies that I've done, where people are literally eating the same way they have for hundreds of years. And their diets are completely unprocessed. There's nothing coming in a can or a package. It's all whole foods.
Yep.
And typically these places are eating very plant-based diets. And it's not like they're vegan. It's just that this is the way they've been eating for centuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plant foods were always the easy things to grow. I mean, they didn't, you know, you couldn't, hunting was dangerous and it was more expensive to keep animals, but you could always plant a crop. You could save the seeds and plant it year after year. Yep. And you could trade things with your neighbors and, you know, and store things, can, ferment, you know, dry. Right. So these were the foods and that were part of these diets in the Americas as well. And when we see these particular cultures, they have very low rates of diseases. So very low rates of obesity. So it's like, how do we get back to that style of eating? And we can even do that in modern societies. There's no reason why we can't be eating more whole foods, you know, even if you're shopping at the supermarket, you know. So I like to say, try to choose foods that remind you of Mother Earth or Mother Nature, that grow close to the soil, where you can actually see, like, when you pick up an apple, there's a little stem, and you could see that the stem was attached to a tree. Like, you can see how it grew. You know, if you pick up a a package of barley. Those are actually the kernels, the seeds on the barley plant, which is like a grass. So you can see that that grew on a plant, or when you pick strawberries, or, you know, you can see the little leaf. But once you start getting into highly processed food, you can't even see a single food in there anymore. It's all been highly processed. So if you see, you know, like a nutrition bar or a chip, it doesn't even look like anything found in Mother Nature, right?
So, when you got people like, this isn't, these aren't super chats, but a lot of people in the comments, I see them right now. They're saying 100% of human history, no, not a single vegan culture.
Yeah.
I tried being vegan once, it nearly killed me. You know, all these, you know, and I've dealt with this a lot. Now I've been vegan for 4 years, you know, and I'm healthy. I'm not overweight. I skate pretty hardcore when I go skate. You know, I'm a physical person. I feel rather healthy. You know, what do you say to these people that are instantly triggered and are very clearly upset about even having a conversation about, you know, eating plant-based, you know, plant-based diet?
Yeah, this is a really interesting conversation to have. First of all, you know, veganism, you know, there isn't, you don't see that as part of indigenous traditional diets, but you do see plant-based eating for sure. And there is a history of vegetarianism. I actually wrote an article. You could Google Sharon Palmer, History of Vegetarianism, and you'll see, you know, where I actually did some research. And I mean, way back to Leonardo da Vinci and Einstein, I mean, there were numerous figures, even back to ancient cultures that, you know, for moral and ethical reasons, they didn't believe in eating animals. So we do have a historic precedent for plant-based diets. But what I think is interesting is that there were so many traditional diets that were primarily plant-based too. And we can see this in cultures all over the world. So, you found my article. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pop that up real quick just to show.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting just as a historical perspective to see that we do have these eating styles, and a lot of it was surrounded by moral concerns, and even health concerns started coming up. People started believing, there are many people throughout history that believed that it wasn't healthy to eat meat. So we do have that. Now we really do have a history of that. And over the last 3 decades, we really have gathered together quite a bit of research on the health benefits of vegan and vegetarian diets. So
yeah. And you know, you even mentioned something earlier about how we've found out what causes diseases, you know, because everyone always is like, what's the medicine that we need for this? And it's like, okay, that's good and all, but what's causing the diseases, right? And have you heard of the China study?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for those who don't know, I'm just going off my memory. It's been a while since I've delved into it. China did a crazy study that had, I think, like a billion people, maybe not, maybe hundreds of millions of different Chinese citizens studied their diets in different locations, and they had different types of food that was the normal base food. And they realized that there was correlation to the different foods, to the different types of cancers that appeared in those different societies. And it's the biggest study ever done on humans for eating meat. And there's a direct correlation with eating meat and the cancers that arose. Mm-hmm. Did I sum that up fairly decently?
You did. And there, you know, that is one very publicized study by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who wrote a, you know, best-selling book about it. And there have been many, many, many studies on plant-based diets since then, even in the last, as I said, in the last 3 decades, and even more recently, study after study after study. That I like to point to the Adventist Health Studies, where I went to school at Loma Linda University. They're probably some of the most well-known studies on plant-based diets. And in these studies, they looked at 5 eating patterns. And also Epic Oxford studies in UK have similar studies. And now we have studies in Taiwan and India, all very remarkably similar, but basically comparing 5 diet patterns: regular diet, semi-vegetarian diet, pescatarian diet, a lacto-ovo, and a vegan diet, 5 diet patterns. Okay. And almost for every parameter, the more plant-based, the better the benefit. So almost every single thing they looked at. Overall, you saw this trend. So if you went from a carnivore to a semi-vegetarian, a benefit. If you went to, you know, pescatarian, a benefit. If you went to lacto-ovo, a benefit. So, and the thing that was so interesting with these studies is they also studied what people eat. And vegans, compared to carnivores, they're eating so many more vegetables. Of course they are, right? Of course they should be. But when you see it on a graph and you see like how much more vegetables vegans are eating than carnivores, because they are filling up more on these things. You know, it's no wonder that they're healthier. I mean, they're eating more whole grains. They're eating more avocados. They're eating more nuts. They're eating all these things that we know are healthy. So of course they should be healthier. So it really makes sense, you know, but I also like to show that, you know, I always like people to get more plant-based. So, you know, if you're a carnivore and you're like thinking, like start out semi-vegetarian or flexitarian, maybe go pescatarian and start getting on that track of eating more plant-based, you know?
Yeah. What about a lot of people talk about how vegetable oils are the worst and like, you know, hydrogenated oils. And I mean, veganism, that's not that, like the fake meats and all that stuff out there, you know, there, that's not, obviously I'm just talking to the crowd. I actually have your picture here. That's why I'm looking off to the side. But just to say to everybody, many vegans, they don't eat that stuff. We just eat a bunch of vegetables and, you know, a lot of, when you say plant-based, a lot of people instantly think of the fake meat stuff because that's what, like, meat is such a normal in their diet. And I see a lot of comments right now about people saying, you know, like, oh, those fake meats are really bad for you. You know, the oils that they pump into those things to make them are the worst. And I actually like a lot of mushroom-based fake meats. Those that's really what I prefer. I don't know if you've heard of the company Korn.
Yeah, I have.
But I really like them.
Their products, yeah. You know, I have been asked this question so many times about the fake meats. And
yeah,
especially that what I call the new generation. I don't want to like call out any brand names being, I don't want to pick on anybody, but this newer generation of plant-based products that are meant to like resemble meat. They taste like meat. They look like meat.
They really do.
Yes. So the nutritionals on those are very similar to meat because they're trying to reproduce meat. They have similar saturated fat, similar calories, similar protein. They do have more fiber because, you know, they're made from plants.
Right.
But regardless of just sheer nutrients, there are many studies that have found red meat in particular to have, you know, harmful health impacts. Like high intakes of red meat have been linked with many, many health problems. So now we know there's something in the meat besides just like fat. I mean, saturated fat is one main area, but there are also other things in the meat. It could, one of the theories is too much iron. Now we know that too much iron can actually be a health problem. So red meat is very high in heme iron. So there's research on that. There's research on TMAO, which is another compound. So it could be something else. And then there's another theory that when you're cooking meat, you produce certain chemicals in the actual cooking of meat. So that could be the reason why there's a high risk, because there are so many studies showing health risk with red meat. Yeah. So no matter what, if you're cutting back red meat and eating these plant-based products, you are at least eliminating red meat from your diet. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about sustainability later. These are much more sustainable products. They've done studies and really cut your environmental footprint. But the health benefits come from eating lentils, beans, farro, you know, like avocados.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the health benefits come from. So I always like to tell people, sure, these are fine every once in a while, but these should be like your, you know, when you're a treat or having a barbecue for a holiday. It shouldn't be what you're eating day in and day out, you know?
Well, I mean, you look back 100, 150 years ago, what was the average diet among Americans? It wasn't meat every day. It wasn't like what you just said, you know, it was really Thanksgiving. They would save up and go get a turkey and then that would be it. But most of the time it was, you know, potatoes and cabbage and, you know, stuff that they would be able to grow, you know, canned stuff and stuff you would trade with their neighbors and all that. So, you know, it's the society that we live in now, but then of course it's processed. A lot of these studies, I've always thought about it too. It's hard to really look at it in that it's unbiased, in the sense that we don't know if the people who were just eating like a plant-based diet versus someone who is eating like really heavy meat diet, if they were healthy outside of just what they eat. Because if you eat well, but you still, like, you can be vegan and eat a lot of sugar and eat a lot of, like, so drink sodas all day and not work out ever, you know. So it's like, it doesn't take into account the rest of the, you know, the human's life, what they do outside of what they eat. So I always found that really interesting. So yeah, what were you going to say?
I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And they try to control for this in really good studies, you know, try to control these factors, like how healthy they were. But you're right. A lot of these big studies that looked at diet patterns, like whether you're a vegan or a carnivore, they didn't look at like how much sugar you ate. They just literally, were you vegan or were you carnivore? You know, they didn't look to see, you know, all these. But there was a new study done by Harvard. It was like 2 years ago, where they actually now are looking at people within a vegan diet. They've now categorized a healthy vegan diet versus a processed vegan diet. So if you're eating sugar and refined foods, you know, or eating, you know, the beans, the lentils, the vegetables, whole grains, and they found a much better result for health benefits for the healthy vegan diet. In fact, the unhealthy vegan diet did more poorly than a traditional, like, non-vegetarian diet. So basically their conclusion was, if you ate an unhealthy, highly processed vegan diet, you were less healthy than the average person.
Okay.
So it just goes to show you that, you know, I mean, I always say Coke, I mean, I shouldn't say brand names, but soda is vegan, you know.
Too late, like, you said it.
I know. Chips are vegan, you know, like there's so much vegan junk food. Sugar's vegan, you know, like, so.
Junk food is junk food. Fast food is fast food.
And there are a lot of people that think vegan foods have a health halo. So they think, oh, it's healthy, it's vegan. It's like, no, it can be just as unhealthy, you know, as a non-vegan version. So
yeah,
you have, it's, well, really the quality.
Right. I mean, and really, so what I've just heard, you know, it's not that it's necessarily unhealthy to not be vegan, you know, but you have to be aware of the health benefits of not, you know, of just eating a lot more vegetables. Really, that's what it is. You know, I saw someone chatted or said something about how in the history of humans, we've never just been vegan. It's like, okay, sure, but we live in a different society now. We have,
we live in a different society. And one of the things we have, I really believe personally, is that we need to evolve with our environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always, our food system has always evolved with our environment. And now we actually can eat a healthy vegan diet. Maybe, you know, 50 years ago, before we could have a B12 supplement easily available, maybe it wasn't such as good of an idea. Today, I mean, the science on sustainability is just overwhelming, you know, what meat production can do. And vegans have the lowest carbon, environmental footprint, carbon footprint, water footprint, land footprint. So it's almost like, you know, of course we can learn from history, but we also need to look at where we're at right now with carbon, you know, footprint, climate change at a tipping point.
Yeah. Well, so my big thing is space, honestly. Like, I love all things space, moving out into space. And you think about living on Mars, they grew wheat on the space station, so they were able to grow plants. And you think about, if they're going to go to Mars, they're going to have to, there's water on Mars. So they're going to be able to harvest water on Mars and turn that into drinking water, turn that into oxygen, turn that into fuel. But they're not, there's not going to be enough for them to raise cattle. You know, it's not, it's going to be astronauts that live on Mars, they're going to be vegan.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
More they're going to.
It is right. It's more efficient and it's healthy.
Yes.
I think that is. I think that is definitely the future of it. You know, of space travel. You know, but let's get back to. You started talking about sustainability. Let's get into those numbers because that's also a big reason. Now, I went vegan because of health reasons. I learned mm-hmm. about what it does to your heart. You know, the valves and you know. All the negative stuff that I've read about dairy, mostly, honestly, I would eat meat again over having dairy in my life. Cause I've learned about, just dairy is not good for you. But sustainability, like I really do want to talk about that. Let's, I'm sure you have, you know, a nice baseline of information to start it off. You know, what is it? Obviously it's more sustainable. You know, you started talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, the research is very consistent on this. It's just not even an argument. I mean, the mm-hmm. plant-based diets are more sustainable. The more plant-based diet, the more sustainable. And vegan diet, over and over in the studies, comes out to have the lowest footprint because animal agriculture is the most intensive. Now, yeah. I mean, especially in our modern society where, you know, we have large agricultural operations. Systems. Mm-hmm. So we grow food to feed animals over their lifetime. So if you think how long it takes, you know, for an animal to live and you're growing food to feed it over an extended period of time, and then you just to look at it very clinically, then you harvest that animal and eat it. So how much food went into it over its lifetime, and then water and space and all the manure it produces and the methane it produces, and then you harvest it and eat it. It's much more efficient to just grow the crop and eat it. And that's really where it's all at, you know, is this efficiency. And then on top of that, the methane, because ruminants like cows and sheep produce, you know, very potent greenhouse gases. And that's a big factor in their carbon footprint. So beef and sheep, red meat, ruminants have the highest footprint, but we mostly eat beef here. We don't eat a lot of sheep or lamb. So that's really the most impactful.
And pigs, right, I guess, too.
Pigs have a much lower, they're monogastric, so they don't produce the amount of methane that ruminants do. So actually, pigs have it's still much, much higher than plant foods are always lower, like significantly lower. But then when you look at the variety of animal foods, red meat, ruminants have the highest by far. And then pigs and poultry have a lower, but still much higher than plant foods, because we still grow plants to feed those animals, you know?
Right.
But they don't produce the potent greenhouse gases that the ruminants do.
Yeah,
but
I guess people
much more efficient to just eat the plants rather than
exactly. That's what I was going to say. I mean, people don't really take into credit that you're not just not eating, you know, a steak from this cow, you're not using this entire field to make, well, they're feeding them corn too. And like food that isn't normal for them to eat, you know? So I don't know. So they're all that. I see a lot of people are upset with me. It's okay. Look, I'm not trying, you know, this is the thing. I'm not trying to convince anyone to be vegan. I'm just trying to talk about, what it is, you know, and, it's fine. Like people can be upset with me and that's not what I'm not here to cater to anyone. I'm here to talk about things that interest me that people are also interested in finding out more about. And this is how I've always said it. I'm not trying to convince anyone to be like me or to do what I'm doing. I want to bring people on here so I can be more knowledgeable about moving forward in life. You know, I want to ask these, you know, and the next is I'm curious about insects. You know, what do you know about the whole insect eating world? You know, what's up with that?
Yeah. And I really appreciate what you said, because, you know, it's a very emotional response that sometimes people have about veganism.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, there are three main motivators through surveys why people become vegan. The number one is health reasons.
Yeah.
Number two is environment. And number three is animal welfare. I mean, according to studies, but they all three are, you know, important motivators.
Yeah.
And so those are all like, you know, they're all, you know, positive things that, you know, we want to change in our communities. So, you know, it's a positive thing. And I think, you know, being positive within the plant-based movement is really important because there are a lot of people that are negative. And I think that kind of can make people have a different viewpoint of it. Seems like you're super positive. But
I always will choose positivity over negativity, always, you know, and people may disagree with me. I've been called naive, and that's okay. You're always until you further your knowledge about something, you know, that's just the way it is. Everyone's ignorant until they understand more about something. And that's my goal. I want to understand everything, you know. I am vegan as a, for a personal choice. I'm not trying to convince anyone out there to be vegan, but I'll tell you what, I would like everyone to be healthy, you know? And as we've learned, you don't have to be vegan to be healthy. That's not what we're saying at all. We are just discussing, sustainability on this planet, which I think is an important issue that we need to talk about. Because I don't think the way that we're doing things right now is good. I think that we're overproducing, and that goes across the board, not just food, clothing, computers, like literally we're overproducing everything. And, you know, a lot of people care about the environment, but they're typing on their computers. They're buying a new phone every year because it's built over on the other side of the planet, but they love to complain about how America's not, you know, holding true to whatever, you know. It's like, okay, you're realizing how hypocritical you're sounding, right? I'm not talking to you, obviously. I'm talking to those people because that is existing. Look, I ate meat for most of my life. And honestly, if the society that we live in crumbled away, I would probably hunt. I would probably fish, actually, but I wouldn't want dairy. Because I would want to survive still. We don't need to survive in that sense anymore. We're not living in the woods. You know, we live in, you know, in this amazing society that can produce food for us all, you know? So I don't have to kill an animal and have an animal die for me. And every time I did eat meat, I thanked the animal, you know, that's what they used to do. They would thank animal, like the Native Americans would thank something for, you know, the buffalo. They cherished the buffalo. They didn't, you know, totally harvest them to extinction, which has almost all but happened now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, I just had to rant because there's a lot of anger right now that I'm seeing in the chat, which doesn't bother me. I'm going to continue doing what I do and being me. So that's all right. Listen, let's move forward. What were we talking about? Sustainability. Oh, you know, insects, right? Let me pick your brain about the whole insect eating movement. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's a sustainable source of protein. You know, I think most vegans don't consider that a vegan source of protein, but you know, that's fine. It is a sustainable source of protein because it doesn't take a lot of inputs to get protein from insects. And these were part of traditional diets forever. Americans aren't really used to that. You know, it hasn't really caught on, but it's being talked about more and more as a future protein source. So I do think we will see more of that. Another future protein source has been algae, and that is
very
sustainable. And you could grow it in tanks, and it would be, you know, a clean source of protein. That's been talked about a lot too. There are some of these choices. And one of the things, you know, when we're talking about sustainability and plant-based, a lot of the major reports that have come out recently, like the IPCC report, the WWF report, Eat Lancet, they're calling for just like, even if people could cut their meat intake by half, what that would do. So, you know, it's even if, you know, people don't want to be vegan, of course, you know, I'm not saying everybody has to be vegan, but I do think we could just make a serious cutback. And one of the things we could do is eat more what I call pulses, which are things like beans and lentils and dried peas, because that is the most sustainable source of protein. It's drought tolerant. It doesn't take a lot of land. It doesn't take a lot of inputs. It actually creates nitrogen in the soil. So it's like a natural fertilizer. And these have been parts of human diets since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think about space, obviously. I mentioned earlier about how I like to think about the future. And insects are an interesting thing, because I don't know if you would want a bunch of insects crawling around on a spaceship, or but if you could have a farm of some sort that would work, I mean, maybe that would work. Yeah. It is really interesting. Well, let's get into sugar. Because you don't have to be vegan or not to know that sugar is definitely an issue in our culture. I mean, everything has sugar in it. It is just, there's a trigger in your brain, right? It's like you've gotten more sugar, like, yay, get some more sugar. And then you need more sugar and more sugar, right? I mean, this is let me just pop this up real quick. This is an article that you wrote. This is The Real Scoop on Sugar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to read the first little part. It says, according to the 1964 Walt Disney musical, Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. But while sugar may help medicine go down, you don't hear anyone singing those praises anymore. Instead, many Americans and those in healthcare community claim sugar is toxic. Sugar causes obesity. Sugar makes you fat. So, I mean, a lot of bold statements, but it's rather true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this is something we know now that the major health organizations like the American Medical Association, the American Heart Association, they're coming out and saying we have to reduce sugar. I mean, we're eating way too much, and there's a lot of reasons that's bad. But now the recommendation is to not have any more than 10% of your calories coming from sugar. So it just, like, for example, the average person needs about 2,000 calories. So that would be 200 calories of your diet, no more than that from sugar. So, you're right. Sugar is in everything. I mean, it's in, like pasta sauce, it's in packaged, even like savory foods, it's in hiding. And yogurt, yogurt's like are like ice cream now. Nutrition bars are like candy bars, So people don't realize that it's in all these things. And now it can increase your risk of heart disease and metabolic things, conditions like diabetes. So we have to really cut it down. And in fact, interestingly, the latest sustainability reports are calling for reduced sugar, because it's not a sustainable food. You have to grow things like beets and then turn it into sugar in a factory and then transport it all over the world to go in as an ingredient. It is not sustainable. Plus, the opposite of sustainability is something that would hurt humans. Like, you eat it and it hurts humans. That's not sustainable. Why should we be using all of our water and land to produce something that hurts us,
Yeah. Well, it keeps us taking medicine. it keeps us sick, and I feel like, I mean, again, this is another conversation, but I've seen enough documentaries. Like, some people will probably be like, oh, they're all propaganda pieces to, I've even heard that, like, veganism is a propaganda piece for globalism. I just want to be healthy, and I've learned about all these things about being healthy. And as we said, you don't have to be vegan to be healthy. I'm not saying that you need to be vegan, everybody. All right. I'm not trying to force anything on you. I'm just trying to learn more about this myself. And by the off chance someone out there is curious about this information, they can find out for themselves as well. I just want to be, I want to be healthy for me, and then, then I would talk about the whole, and, let's stay on sugar. Let's stay on sugar.
Okay.
Because it really does seem like it's in everything, So do we even need sugar? I mean,
no.
So you talked about the keto diet, something about, I don't remember. I didn't read the article because I was just, there's a lot of different things that you've written. But you did talk about the keto diet. And so for those who don't know, the keto diet is where you basically cut sugar out, right?
Yeah,
and enter ketosis. Go ahead.
Oh, and most of the carbohydrates too,
which are a different form of sugar, right, in a sense?
Yeah, it's a macronutrient, and it's the source of energy that we, the human body prefers getting our energy source, like our fuel, from carbohydrates. It can also use fat. It could break down protein, but our preferred source of energy is carbohydrates.
Okay.
So the keto diet really reduces carbohydrates, and the fat is the huge amount of nutrients in the diet. I'm not a big fan of the keto diet at all.
No. But, why not? Why is that?
Because it's really, number one, there's not enough research to suggest that that would be a diet for optimal health for, you know, for your whole lifespan. Okay. There are some little particular, maybe some niche kind of conditions that it might have benefits for, but, you know, basically you have to eliminate a lot of fruits, starchy vegetables, whole grains, beans, all the things that we know are good for you. You have to take them off the diet. So,
yeah. And then you're
just eating high fat. And a lot of times people are literally just kind of eating this processed stuff just to achieve ketosis. And
yeah,
so it's not a process. But yeah, I say a diet should be sustainable. And what I mean by sustainable is something, a lifestyle that you can live on and feel healthy and happy and content. I mean, if you're on a keto diet, how can you have a Thanksgiving dinner or go see a friend? Like, you're eating like these artificial foods a lot of times. So
yeah,
you know, it's really hard to eat any kind of a balanced diet. It's anytime you're on a diet that you can't wait to go off, then it's not sustainable. It should be right. A way of living and eating. And you know, back to the sugar just a little bit, I am not a purist. I don't think you have to completely never have a drop of sugar, but this 10% rule, you know, like just a little bit of sugar and then have it in something you really enjoy. Like if you want to make homemade chocolate chip cookies, you know, on the weekend, let it be something that you really enjoy. But it's this constant trickle in everything we eat. And then beverages like sodas can have so much sugar.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where it's just flooding in our bodies. So it's not that you can never, ever, ever have any of it, but it should be like a treat. It shouldn't be just like all the time
taking
away from all the healthy things we could be eating.
Especially sodas. I mean, my goodness. So Snapple. Like last time I had one of those, I just took one because I drink water now. Coffee and water and whiskey. Those are the three things that I like to drink, which of course alcohol has sugar in it, right? I mean,
well, it's a different form. It depends on which form of alcohol you're consuming. Like, it is interesting. Beverages are another category that's probably people overlook beverages, but, what happens in our bodies is that when we chew food, it makes us feel full. And it's part of this whole your digestion starts in the mouth when you're chewing food. And humans, you know, evolved chewing like really chewy foods, you know, because nothing was processed, right? Like, can you imagine how long it took to eat food in our early ancestors? Because it was just unprocessed foods, right?
Right.
So we know when we chew food, we start, you know, slowly digesting, and then we start feeling full. Like, have you noticed when you eat like a pear, it could take you forever to eat a whole pear? But, and it's like, you're full, but that was only 90 calories because there was so much chewing. So, you know, with beverages, what happens is there are studies to show you could have the same calories in a beverage and you just drink it down and you don't feel full at all. If you eat that same calories in a food that requires chewing, you are really full. So that just goes right back. Like, you could have 150 calories in a soda and not feel slightly full at all. Yeah. But 150 calories of a healthy food, you're like feeling full and satisfied and, you know, as a snack or something.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how the beverages kind of trick our bodies.
Yeah. And you said 10% of your daily intake for sugar, you're getting that and some with just one can of soda, you know, just one can of soda. Some people drink a 2-liter, you know, a day. It's pretty crazy actually to think about.
It's crazy. You're absolutely really right.
Oh, well, sugar is a thing, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting to think that humans never knew anything sweet other than fruit and then honey. Like, but if you think how hard it was to get honey, if our early ancestors,
that's true.
Like, it was hard to get honey, right? You had to fight off bees. So the only thing we ever knew was like fruit in the summer, you know, like berries. And then we isolated the substance, and now it's just so intense that it's taking us, you know, humans and our evolution to really understand it and how we've just become so used to it. And true. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you can actually train your taste buds to prefer less sugar. So if you, if you are trying to get off sugar, like maybe you'll have, you know, like you'll start off with plain yogurt. I like plant-based yogurt, and just put a little bit of added sugar or honey or well, agave or maple syrup is what I use. But, you can train yourself to like less and less sugar and be satisfied. So if you really train your taste buds to prefer less sugar, and then you drink a soda, it will seem shockingly sweet.
Yeah.
So you can train your taste buds to like less sugar.
No joke. I'm pretty sure that already happened to me. I've never really been a sweets kind of person, like rich cakes and stuff like that. Never interested me. I was very not like my favorite thing was always fruit leather, that kind of stuff. Like that is my jam. And that's pretty much like, I don't really do sweets any now. I really do prefer savory everything. Sometimes like a maple syrup, but it's still more of a, that's a natural kind of a flavor, you know, maple syrup, you know, I don't know. There's something, like I can't do the fake syrup, you know, the hydrogenated oils, basically. It's
I
just can't do it anymore.
I go to maple syrup or agave if I'm baking. A lot of my recipes, if I have to have sugar, and you know, these are still sugar to the body, but they're at least they're less refined. I mean, they're like maple syrup is an old practice in the Americas where they tapped trees, and you know, and of course it's cooked down.
Yeah.
But it's not as refined as white sugar, and it does have some antioxidants left in there. So, I mean, it's still sugar, but I would prefer using that myself too, just a small amount.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. So tell us about your book that you just wrote. I could pop up your website here. We got the Plant Powered Diet written by you. And then I think you have another one down here. Plant Powered for Life. Tell us about your book. What are they about?
So my first book is The Plant Powered Diet. And that's kind of like, I call it kind of like a guide to plant-based eating. And it, you know, again, my philosophy is that anybody can eat a plant-based diet. I really believe that everybody could and should eat a plant-based diet, meaning that there's a spectrum. Like even if you just cut back or do Meatless Monday or eat more flexitarian, I think we can all do that. And we could get health benefits and environmental benefits. So, you know, I really talk about how to do that. And even down to like, you know, what foods should you eat? How much, you know, how much protein, where do you get your protein and how many servings do you need? And where do you get all these nutrients? So I really break it down into all very specifics. And then I do have some recipes too. And then my second book is Plant Powered for Life. And that is really just an easy, like, it's basically 52 tips. So you could take one per week to eat a more plant-based diet. And they're easy tips on one page where, you know, you could do them all at once or you could do them over a period of time. And then recipes that help you kind of learn these behaviors of how to eat more plant-based. So really just one tip at a time. And then, you know, you could really start eating more of a plant-based diet.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that first book sounds really good. I'd like to have that on my shelf because I think that's I think that's really important. Not even about the plant powered part of it. You know, I feel like you said it earlier, we used to be taught, you know, general knowledge about what we need to eat food wise. You know, like in schools. I remember when I was younger, I had cooking class and archery class. I know that's a sidebar, but it's like school doesn't teach these things anymore, these like normal things that we should learn and should understand. You know, it's like I can't believe it. You know, we should learn how to cook because everyone should know how to cook because eating is essential to life. You need to eat every single day. You need to drink water every day. That's just, it's just like breathing oxygen. You don't have to teach how to breathe, but you need to learn how to eat because not a lot of people know how to eat. So eating right is absolutely essential. So,
yeah. And you're right, because you know, we don't know how to cook, and we're into our third generation of people who didn't learn how to cook because you learned it either from your parent or at school. And yep. now it was dropped from school curriculum. And, you know, this whole idea that your mother would, or your father, or your family member, grandparent would teach you the traditions of that, you know, of your family, your culture, all these things, and hand them down. And we're losing that connection, which is very sad. And yep. one of the most important things you could do for your health is to cook more, because if you cook, I mean, chances are you will always make it healthier than you can get at takeout.
Absolutely.
Or like in a package. So just doing, and it doesn't have to be fancy. I mean, a lot of my recipes and my cooking, I can get on the table in 30 minutes. So nice. I would say by the time you call takeout and go pick it up, you could have dinner on the table.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
And save money. Yeah.
Yep. Everything. And that's mm-hmm. not, you know, and to all those people that get upset, that goes for you too. Like, you don't have to be vegan to cook your own meal, to mm-hmm. spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes of your day. I mean, sometimes there's certain ways you can do it where, you know, you can make a roast or something and set it and forget mm-hmm. it kind of thing in a slow cooker, chili, which can be vegan also, but it's about making your own food, not doing processed food at all. Like, if you cut processed food out of it, you know, instantly you're taking a step towards being healthier. You know, you're getting more veggies into your diet. You're getting more of the stuff that we know is good for you into your system. And that's really important. You know, I think that a lot of people, they put it out of their mind because it's work. Well, yeah, you got to get up and work in life. That's kind of what this world's about. If you don't put work in, then you get complacent, you get lazy. And a lot of the society that we live in right now, a lot of people feel entitled to have things done for them. And I think that's a big problem too. We got to learn how to do things for ourselves. And cooking, just the simple act of cooking, is honestly one of the base things that we need to bring back. You know, we have to cook again.
Exactly.
Make cooking great again.
I know, I can't agree with you more on that one. And, you know, that's one of my pet peeves, is I try to encourage people to cook. You know, this whole idea, the number one reason people say they don't cook now is because of time. But they spend so much time on social media. I forgot what, isn't it?
I know.
2 hours a day on average. Like, what
yeah.
if you, you know, one fourth of that time. And what, one of the things I like to remind people is that in many food cultures, cooking is considered a reverent act, because
awesome.
Yeah. Because, it's considered an honor to have food, to even have food, to even have ingredients so that your family is healthy, is considered, like, you know, like you should pray and be grateful, you know, or whatever your sense of spirituality is, you should have that sense of gratitude. This is Amazing. A cultural tradition in many cultures. And I feel like we have just lost connection. You know, we've lost connection with our food. We don't know how it's grown. We don't appreciate how hard it is to grow food. And we waste 40% of our food we're throwing away. But if we really value our food and really think a little bit about what it took for that farmer to grow that food, it's not easy. Try growing your own vegetables for a while and see how hard it is, you know, and then really think, you know, I'm so grateful that I have something to nourish my body and, you know, and to fuel my brain and all these things, feed my family. Yep. I think, that's one of the things I like to remind people of, and maybe I'm a little bit of an optimist about that. And the other thing is that in some cultures, cooking is almost meditation. So there are some cultures where you toast your spices and you smell them and you saute the onions. And, you know, for me at the end of the day, you know, when I'm cooking, I look forward to that time, because it's like, I can just take a little bit of time and just chop. Chopping is very like kind of for me, and stirring and smelling things. And it's just kind of when I slow down and transition for the end of the day, you know.
It's good for the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think you nailed it, though. I think I'm using the term we, because, you know, I'm an American. I live in this society, and there was a time where I didn't think about how important just having food on my plate is. You know, I always talk about, it's nice that we have, you know, electricity and, you know, toilets, you know, the ability to have our waste get taken away, you know, by just a press of a lever. Then you hear that, and it's like, a lot of these people don't even realize how amazing it is that we all have food available to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, even our homeless, even the poorest of Americans are richer than many, many countries on this planet right now, because mm-hmm. they can still get a meal. They can still stand on a street corner and someone will give them money. I mean, you see it, and they're not going hungry. They can still have food, but most of us have food.
Yeah.
We have food on our table. We can eat food. And that's amazing. That yeah. alone should be revered, and people yeah. should be grateful for that. We're losing that, the ability to be grateful for what we have. And I think that's the cause of a lot of the issues nowadays. You know, I'm going outside of food. You know, you look at all this stuff. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just that appreciation of some of the small things that are actually quite large, you know. I mean, human needs of food, shelter, you know, survival are very high, you know, but we've lost track. We don't value it as much as we used to, you know. My parents were both farmers, you know, and every single thing that they ate came from the farm, you know, like everything. They didn't buy anything, or maybe they traded something with the neighbor farm or whatever.
And that's amazing.
I think when you really start thinking about valuing that, I always encourage people to try to grow a little bit of your own food. Like, even if it's just a pot on your doorstep with
something,
a tomato plant or some herbs, just try a little bit and get connected with your food system a little bit.
Yep. Tomatoes are delicious too. All right, so I know that we are not going to go all the way till 8. You have a meeting to go to. So we're going to get into some super chats. Before we do, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me today. I know a lot of people out there probably are triggered because it just simply talking about this is triggering, but that's okay. I think it doesn't matter. I think a lot of what we talked about isn't even really about being vegan. It's about eating healthy. It's about mm-hmm. cooking for yourself. It's about being grateful for what you have. So thank you very much for joining me today.
I'm so happy that I was joining you too. It's fun.
Awesome. All right. So let's here. I have a bunch of super chats that have come in. Okay. Mark Robershaw, of course, you're always a pleasure to see. I have a bunch of super chats from you. Plant lives matter. Plants have feelings too. Well, everything eats plants on this planet. So even animals, every animal eats plants from the base all the way up to the true carnivores, because they eat things that eat plants. So
right.
It's all from the plants, which is actually all from the sun, because the plants all eat sun energy. So it's all technically light.
The soil, it's all interconnected. Even a lot of people don't realize that the soil is really such an important part of our ecosystem. And that soil has a microbiome, you know, like now we're understanding the human microbiome, you know, like the gut microbes. Soil has an even more important microbiome. And the way we're growing food is destroying it, you know, our use of pesticides and, you know, the way our entire system right now.
Yeah, so, just over farming it also, taking the nutrients out.
Lack of biodiversity, all of these things that were part of this beautiful. But when we have healthy soil, it can do lots of things like prevent erosion. It can actually capture carbon, you know, and decrease carbon emissions. There's so many things that our healthy soil can do, you know.
Yep, we got to bring permaculture back.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Mark again says, I eat apples and pear cores and all. Wow. All right. Oh, you boss.
That's good. Love to recommend is to eating more of the whole plant, you know, because a lot of times we just eat one part of it, like, you know,
broccoli for example,
like just the little flower, no leaves, or like when you eat radishes you can eat the radish leaves, or when you eat beets you can eat the beet leaves. And in many cultures they eat the whole plant, but we kind of just somehow have this idea, you know,
that we only
eat one part of it. So and always try to eat the peeling. That's a lot of times where the most nutrient is. I mean, some things the peeling's not edible,
Yeah.
But like apples and pears, most of the fiber, most of the phytochemicals, and I didn't even talk about phytochemicals, but phytochemicals are the plant compounds that have the antioxidant and anti-inflammatory things. There are thousands of them, and often they're concentrated in the outer surface. They're what give plants the color sometimes. So when you see color in a plant, that's the phytochemical.
You can't eat mango skin, right? I heard that you shouldn't eat the mango.
I don't believe so. I have to look that one up, but I don't think that part is edible.
Mark again says, would a vegan eat artificial meat?
That's a good question.
Interesting. Why don't you take it away? Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think he's talking about cell cultured lab grown meat.
Yeah, lab grown meat. Let's go with that. That's what it is.
Yeah, which is getting to be more of a, you know, a concept that's coming to fruition, and it could be more sustainable. It could be more ethical. And, you know, my whole take on veganism is that it's a personal choice. And I like to say there's no vegan police. There shouldn't be a vegan police. It's like,
I agree 100%.
Yeah. And I really don't like any judgmental things. Like I can eat the way I want.
Yes.
It's personal choice, you know?
Yes. So
if you're a vegan and you think that lab grown meats are an option for you, that's great. You know,
awesome.
A lot of vegans would still consider it to be meat. And one thing to keep in mind is that when you have been a vegan for a long time, you don't really even like the taste of meat anymore. You find it distasteful. So it's a very individual thing, but I think that it is an interesting concept when we look at sustainability.
Yeah,
I think
we're
going to learn a lot. I don't know how well it's going to be embraced in America, but interesting to see what happens. I actually wrote a whole article about that if somebody wants to look it up.
Is that on your website?
Yeah. I believe it's,
it's in the description below, actually. If you can check out her, information, you can click on her website. It's just below, right there.
I have a whole in-depth that explains how it's produced. So if you want to learn more about it, you'll find it's a blog on my site.
Excellent.
Just search for it.
Mark again is human meat vegan. That is disgusting. Moving on. Of course not. Jeez, Mark. Gosh. All right. Again, he says, being alive causes diseases, bro. It's facts, son. Wrecked. Great. You got me, Mark. You got me. Chisholm, hey, what's good? Says, best vegan cookbooks are the Thug Kitchen ones. Eat Like You Give an F, Fast as F, and Party Grub for Social Mother Effers, Pineapple Tacos. And then he, you know, they're really good. Okay, sign. I actually know the Thug Kitchen one. I think I have one in my stuff back. It's on the other side of the country right now, but I'll be getting them soon.
They are delicious recipes. I agree with you.
Have you tried them?
They are. I've tried a few of them. They're super healthy. I think I could be wrong, but I really think what they're going for is really trying to show like how you could switch to carnivore and still like be satisfied, right? I think
that's
the whole concept, which is really important because a lot of people worry about that. They think, oh, I'm going to be hungry all the time, or it's not going to taste.
I don't feel full.
Yeah.
Okay. Eat a little bit more. Yeah. And you know, the thing with cookbooks is you got to cook.
Yeah.
You still got to cook it. Mark Aurelius says, sorry, the carnivore diet is the diet of choice of the gods. No to the veganism. Plants are my food's food. I don't appreciate y'all's eating it. Well, I don't really care what you eat. So the fact that you don't appreciate what I eat means that you are judging and you're also taking offense when you shouldn't. Because I'm not trying to force you to eat any differently. You know, I'm just talking about what veganism is. All right. So you check yourself, Mark. Mark Aurelius, because here's Mark Robershaw again, says capsicum can go F itself into the sun. Okay. Jeez, Mark. All right. Mark again says photosynthesis is the only true vegan diet. So is that just like going and sunbathing and eating? We don't have photosynthesis in our skin, although there is a study that they're actually thinking they've unlocked artificial photosynthesis, which is pretty incredible if they actually have done that. So
I don't know, it's
pretty cool. Liam Baker says, sent the gang my novel. It's called Stay Tuned. I think you'll dig it. Oh, right on. Well, I don't... they don't, I don't have anything to do with that gang. So maybe they'll, hopefully they'll, they're not going to show me. Anyway, Ken's, Ken 1990 says, food in the USA is all pumped with pesticides and hormones coming from the Caribbean. I was shocked how different the fruit tastes. Everything is different here. I mean, I lived in Europe for probably 2 to 3 years of my life, and all the fruit is amazing there. The potatoes, the carrots, man, the carrots in France. I can't explain how amazing they are. Wow.
And it's, I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
All I have to say is try going to a farmer's market and you'll, I mean, I agree with you, you know, because of the way we produce crops in America, it's large farms, you know, with all these inputs and that one variety, you know.
Yeah.
So, but when you go to a farmer's market, you'll taste produce like you've never had it before. Like where it's
I gotta do it.
Small farmers who, you know, use heirloom crops, they're biodiverse systems, no pesticides. I mean, it's, you know, a game changer for you.
And with good soil too, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. So
right.
It makes a huge difference. And grow eating seasonally, because our food system is so global. True. That, you know, you're eating like this is same a sad stuff. Thing. You can be in summer season with tomatoes all around you, and the tomatoes are coming from Mexico and they were picked 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that tomato will never taste as good as the tomato that was grown, you know, a few miles away and harvested when it was ripe. So yeah. That's the problem with our food system.
True that. Mark again says, too much iron helped Magneto escape. All right. Good X-Men joke there. Mark again says, no matter what you eat, this is a risk. There is a risk for anything. That's a very good point, Mark. I mean, and as I kind of talked about earlier, if you don't exercise, if you eat a lot of processed candy and drink a lot of soda, which is also vegan, I mean, you're still unhealthy. If you're not exercising, getting up and moving around, you know, there's a lot to that goes into being a human being other than what you eat, you know, so, but a lot of it has to do with what you eat. So,
yeah. And I mean, you could say that, but also we know, you know, very confidently in the nutrition world that there is a diet, a way of eating that will, you know, help you have a much higher risk of living longer and disease free.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is, you know, a plant-based diet, and that's pretty much universally agreed on within health organizations. So,
Tom Bowersock says, I'm a believer that red meat is healthier than vegetarian or vegan, but have a super chat because you both are awesome. Well, thank you, Tom. And, that's fine. You know, we didn't even actually talk about this. Everyone's different. Everybody's different. Everyone, you know, there's some people that are allergic to certain things, certain foods. They can't eat certain things. If you are in ketosis or trying to go keto, it's probably awfully hard to be vegan because there's not a lot of options left. Being gluten-free, you know, that cuts out a lot of stuff. I mean, everyone's different. So, you know, it is, but cooking for yourself, maybe hunting for yourself instead of going to have your meat from a factory farm, you know, is going to be significantly healthier because you know that it's from the land instead of pumped with hormones and steroids or whatever, you know, you don't know. That's really the thing. So, you know, if I had to, I would hunt myself. I have hunted before in the past. Now I don't have to, because I live in this wonderful place that we call society. So, look, there's no judgments here. You know, a lot of people were getting upset earlier in chat, and it's probably because they feel judged because we're just talking about the way we are. And it's like, look, we're not judging you. We're not judging anyone. All right. Humans have lived for hundreds and thousands of years by eating meat. It has been something that's been there, you know, so it's not that there's no judgment. So thank you for saying that, Tom. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mark Robershaw says vegan farming kills millions of animals every year. Commercial farming, sure. You know, when you're talking about big, huge operations where there might be animals running through the fields where these huge machines are rolling through. I know what you're talking about, Mark, but we're talking about sustainable farming, which is local, trading with your neighbors, growing your own food. How does that kill animals? That doesn't. That's not.
Yeah, I'm not sure
what we're talking about.
That reference is about either. Yeah.
I think I just nailed it, because I've had friends that have talked to me about that, you know, about how, oh, you know, deer get caught up in, you know, most wheat isn't even vegan anymore because the big, huge, massive wheat fields will have, you know, animals that get caught up in the machines as they're pulling the wheat through. And it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Grow your own food. Maybe that's what I want to do. Ken 1990 says, we're evolved to be omnivores. Meat is not the problem. It's all the hormones being pumped into the meat and pesticides in the plants. Correct. And I actually read an article about being people who are gluten-free, that need to be gluten-free. There's a lot of talk about how they're finding out that it could be the pesticides in the wheat being used, and the type of wheat that we're using, the one that was chosen as like the wheat to grow in mass quantities, is one that's hard for the human body to actually digest. So people that have a harder time digesting it. This is just an article I read that this is something they're finding in some studies. It's not proven yet, so don't take that for a fact. But you know, it is interesting. It is those pesticides and hormones. It's not good for us.
Yeah, there is the modern wheat that's been farmed is higher in gluten. Mm. So that's interesting. But one of the prevailing theories now about all of this gluten sensitivity is our gut microbiome, which is where our immune system starts. Is Americans' gut microbiome is pathetic. It's just pathetic because of our diets and our lifestyles are super clean. You know, like now, of course, in COVID, who knows what's going on with our guts?
Oh, man, who knows, right?
Everybody's doing hand sanitizer all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a lot of interesting stuff, but we definitely have a different agricultural system, and we are seeing the impacts of things like these inputs, like fertilizers and pesticides for sure.
Right on. And then here we have a few chats from Mark Robershaw. I'll eat anything at least once except capsicum. What is that? What is capsicum?
That is the compound that's in peppers, spicy peppers.
Ah, so that's the hot stuff.
I don't know if that's what I don't know if, you know, I actually wanted to point out that I love what you said earlier about we're all so different. So you know, what works for me doesn't always work for you. And we have our individual tolerances. Like some people are allergic to strawberries and I love strawberries, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, we also have to listen to our bodies and understand ourselves and apply that, you know, that kind of filter through what makes us feel good, you know? So I don't know if he has, some people could be allergic to some of these things in the pepper family.
Mark Robertshaw, you are a funny guy. He goes, oh man, cocaine is vegan, right? I mean, it comes from a plant. I guess it is. I don't know. I don't know what chemicals. Is it chemically processed? Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Mark again says wrong. We need to evolve to eat the sun. It might be kind of hot. Interesting.
About. I was thinking of capsicum and peppers.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? And he says, wrong again. Insect farming is the most efficient. So, well, obviously, these are previously pertaining to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. And then he says, again, less people, less need for food, less problems. I don't really like where you're going with that, Mark. So I'm going to move on. Thomas Garrett, thank you for becoming a member. Oh, the UFO is... can you even see the UFO? It is not even on the screen right now, but I was just making the light go bing, 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 bing for you. Thank you very much for becoming a member. Let's see. Tam Tom says, not vegan, just here to support the show. Thank you very much, Tam Tom. I appreciate that very much. Oh, I just had a super chat jump. Please bear with me as I scroll back up to where we were at. My goodness. Thank you for all these super chats, everybody. Mark Robershaw again says, I would summon and eat demons. Is that vegan? Probably, because it sounds like they would be imaginary and would just be air. Right. Robert Weil says, I'm not triggered when you talk about this stuff. Just push back on her when she doesn't admit the damage clearing land for crops, that it damages the land. Sorry, Robert. actually those, the lands that are being cleared for crops are to grow food for animals.
Absolutely right.
That's what's happening. We don't need to, if we just cut back on how many animals that we feed with, we can grow food for ourselves instead. Right. A lot of that land. All right. Now, a lot of people will bring up palm oil. Now, I know that's an issue, too, because that they are clearing land for palm oil because palm oil is used in a lot. So I'm not saying that. We can branch off into many different conversations. OK, so I was really trying to stay focused on the nutritional side of things, you know. Mm-hmm. So palm oil is an issue in the Pacific Southwest. They're doing this quite heavily. But a lot of land clearing is to feed animals. All right. There's no debating that.
There's research documenting, I forgot the percentage of deforestation that's occurring directly related to animal agriculture. I could always look that up for you. It's really very high, but
that's okay.
Palm oil, you know, you don't have to have palm oil. That is an ingredient in processed foods. Like you don't need palm
exactly.
oil in the kitchen. If you don't eat.
Yeah.
chips and all these snack foods, and you wouldn't even be, but palm oil is an issue for sure. I mean,
absolutely.
There's a lot going on to try to, you know, promote sustainable palm oil production right now. It's a big issue. So you're right on that.
Yep. All right. So a pierogi platter says, can we get a true carnivore dietitian on the show for transparency on some of this information? Absolutely. For sure. I would love to. I'm not trying to seem biased, although I am vegan myself, and I happen to agree with her on many of the, pretty much everything that we've talked about. So it's not that I'm trying to, you know, force some sort of bias out into the world. If you feel like if there is a carnivore dietitian out there that would like to come on my show, hit me up, adamcastirl@gmail.com. No joke. I would love to have someone come on and explain the other side of it. Maybe I could have Sharon come back and we can all have a conversation about it. That would be, I don't know if you would like to come on again. Maybe that would be fun, you know, or sure. I don't know if fun would be the right word, but I would like that. I always want to see the other side of things. I want to know all the information I can. As I said at the beginning of the episode, everyone's ignorant until they do their research. To not be ignorant anymore.
Yeah. And so, if anybody wants any references of any of the things that I talked about, I'd be happy to provide them. You know, if you want to look them up yourself, you know, I'm all about transparency when it comes to all that.
Well, your website has a lot of information on it. So check out her website. It's in the description below. You can check it out. I know we don't have too much time left, so I'm going to try to get through some of these super chats. Socialism is for Fig says, this is funny. You guys really think if humans stop eating meat, the world would be better? That is not how the food chain works. I am a hunter, and animal populations grow and grow. If you do not eat meat, the meat will eat you. See, this is funny. We don't have too much time left, but you know, we are already disrupting everything. We're changing the planet anyway. We're doing it. The planet has been forever changed. So this whole, I'm not saying that the world's going to be better only specifically if humans stop eating meat. That, no way. There's always going to be greed that people will always, money, you know, trying power. There's always these things that have nothing to do with what we eat food wise. The complex life that we live is, there's so many different facets. We can't just pin one. This is the answer. If we just do this, that's it. No, there's thousands of things that need to happen. You know, we are complex animals. Our brains and everyone's different, as we've talked about. So everyone's different, and we have this crazy complex engine called society that we live in. There's no one answer. I can't. We're just having a conversation about food and nutrition, what the body is, and sustainability and moving forward in life. You know, it's just information that there needs to be conversations being had about this stuff, because this is important. Period. You know, that's it.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that 99% of our meat comes from factory farms. So we're really not eating wild foods. I am
right.
an advocate. I would like to see the meat that we consume in America be the, you know, more sustainable, more wild meat, like more grass fed, but sadly 99% yep. is factory farm. So
yeah.
And
learn how to hunt.
Our oceans are endangered.
Oh, so, the ocean's a whole nother conversation too, because we are way overfishing them.
To figure out how are we going to balance our ecosystems, you know, with our, and we're adding 2 billion people to our population in the next 30 years. So how are we going to feed the planet, you know, and not ruin it, you know?
Exactly. That's a very important conversation. Yeah. Get a gun, learn how to shoot, go hunt your own meat. You said you're a hunter. I respect that. You could probably cook yourself too. Cause if you're hunting, that means you're harvesting the meat yourself. That means you're cutting down the meat to cook yourself. You're not having someone cook it for you. You do it all yourself. That's what we need more of.
Right.
All right. Moving on. I know you don't have too much time left. Richard M. says, you're a good man, Adam. Thank you very much, Richard. Appreciate that. Mark Robertshaw says, big sugar is more powerful than big oil. That doesn't surprise me. JT, far from being vegan, but great informative show, Adam. Keep up with booking interesting guests like Sharon. I will absolutely try that. And thank you again, Sharon, for joining me. It's been enlightening for sure. Mark Robertshaw sent a few super chats here. Says, it's not taste bugs. It's the microbiome of the gut. Ah, okay. Weaning yourself off sugar, I believe that was about. Maple syrup and pancakes are boss. Fight me. I'm not going to, because I love that combination. Brandon Thompson says, what are your thoughts on documentaries like The Game Changers, which are pretty well propaganda with some false information? I mean, there may be a couple things that are false, but a lot of it is true. Did you watch The Game Changers? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I actually wrote a review on it. I think, you know, I will be right there to admit that a lot of the documentaries have not been very science-based and biased. I mean, I have written some negative reviews on some of the plant-based documentaries, but you know, I mean, they always have to straddle the line between entertainment, you know, but I mean, I do think that there are tons of athletes that are doing very well on plant-based diets. That they got right, and it's very inspirational. But when you look at science, anecdotal science isn't always like the gold standard. Like saying somebody's story is not like the gold standard. But it is very inspirational. And I do believe I have worked with many athletes that do better on plant-based diets. So,
Right. Mark Robertshaw says, when I cook, I always try to add more veggies. Smart. That's great.
You. I love that.
Leonardo says, y'all spitting facts tonight. Delightful guest as well. Thank you. And shout out to Sharon. Let's see. Kyle Gardner says, please look into getting Dr. Lane Norton, PhD in nutritional sciences on, please. It would be great perspective on the topics from today. Thanks. I would love to. I always enjoy hearing experts talk about things that I would like to know more about. Hands down, it's my favorite thing to do with the show that I have. Kick Ya Mart says, plants eat dead things, not just shining light. That's true. And mushrooms too, which is actually not plants. So another conversation, but interesting. The man behind the screen says, it's all just space dust anyway. Good point. Lucas says, I'm a hunter. I butcher my own meat, and I have a relationship to my food in the same way that a gardener would. Just thought to throw that out there. And respect to you, Lucas, because that's what we need more of. People that understand there is a relationship with any food you eat, really important. And as Sharon pointed out, we've lost that. We got to bring that back. Superman, if he wasn't scared of green rocks, what's good? Says, excuse me if I have a fear of veggies from seeing my VeggieTales one too many times. This was an educational. Smash that like button and spin that UFO. I will spin it after you. I promise. It actually fell off, so I have to fix the UFO. I know sacrilege, but it's okay. I'll spin it for you, Superman. Don't worry. Jacob Clark became a member. Bing, 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 bing. I flashed the light for you. Don't worry. Mark Robertshaw says most Americans can't even boil water. That's pretty sad if that's the truth. Darren says it doesn't matter what your diet is as long as you all serve the God Emperor of mankind, which is yourself. Everyone is their own God. I don't know if that's true, but Gioma says mango skin is edible. Oh, I know. I'm Nigerian. Unless there's some non-African skin inedible mango variety I'm unaware of. That's good to know. I've always just thought that mango skin was inedible, but thanks for letting me know. I'll try it next time. Chet Chisholm says it Little Shop of Horrors taught me anything. It's that Steve Martin is a terrible dentist and we need to eat the plants before they take over the world. All right. Good to know. That's funny. All right. Let's see. Ooh, I just got another super chat jump. Thank you, everybody. Hold on. Here we go. Ribs Exposed says you should get Michaela Peterson on your show, Adam. A vegan and Michaela a carnivore having a conversation about their diet choices could be interesting. Well, that would be an honor to have Michaela on my show. Michaela, if you happen to be watching, you're more than welcome to come and talk about being a carnivore. That's fine. Robert Wiles says, I hope you don't think I was mad at you with my first chat. It's just that I don't like being called. I'm acting like something that I'm not. Have a blessed night. Thank you, Robert. No, of course I'm not. I would never assume that. I take criticism, you know, with a grain of salt. You know, I, of course, and you super chat quite often. So, of course, I appreciate your opinion. So, no, don't worry at all. You know, I will always, you know, take care of everything. Kikia again says, eat your meat, eggs, and veggies from the local farms. Makes a huge difference. Support local on every business. Lucas says, I was in Nepal with someone with celiac, and they had wheat without any reaction. Interesting. Hmm. Interesting. Not surprising, honestly. Maxima says, hey, Adam, I have Crohn's disease and I'm not able to have fruit or veggies and dairy. What should I do? Well, I have no idea. That's unfortunately, I'm not the expert. Sharon, do you have any ideas there?
Yeah, that is a very complicated thing that I would recommend making an appointment with a dietitian. I've written, you can read some of the things I've written about that. There are ways you can eat more fruits and vegetables when you have, you know, a condition like that, but it takes, you know, we each have individual tolerances. So I would recommend an appointment for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Chet again says one of the side effects of taking antibiotics is that it affects your gut bacteria, kills some of it off, making digestion harder until it repopulates. That's a good point.
Absolutely.
A good point. The Water Warrior says I'm on a 65 day juice fast and I'm getting a feeling of soreness and burning in my upper chest area. Any advice? 65 days. I mean, I don't know much about fasting. I think,
I think
she said it.
Too long.
talk to a dietitian.
Yeah, your healthcare professional.
Yeah. Mark Robershaw says capture CO2 and use it for hydroponics. Okay. Sarah says sorry for the shade you guys are being thrown. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. It's a complicated thing and good to chat about. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate that. Yeah. Kiki again says, oh no, they feed cows corn, wheat because they grow too much to try to get enough to feed humans. Cows eat the stuff that isn't suitable to feed humans. Yes, but it's not always suitable for cows either. And that's what I was referring to earlier. Chet Chisholm says, Michaela Peterson is a carnivore. Maybe her. I mean, someone just suggested earlier. It would be nice to have her on. That would be fantastic. Angela says, started my own garden 2 years ago. Use flowers and herbs to keep the undesirable bugs away. Also compost for good soil. Awesome. I love that. Proud of you. The man behind the screen says the world won't be made better just based on what we eat food-wise as opposed to other things we eat. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I mean, again, we have to think about politics and, you know, just people not being cool to one another. And there's so much outside of just simply eating food that has to do with making the world a better place. Adam Johnson says, we need the protein bars they were eating in the Snowpiercer movie. Nom, nom, nom. It was made from, do you see that? It was,
yes.
I think, cockroaches, yeah. Jordan Levinson says, or Levington says, host a nuanced conversation between Sharon and Michaela Peterson, the lion diet girl. I mean, everyone seems to think Michaela should be on my show. So, Michaela, I'm going to try to reach out to you and have you on. That would be a pleasure. And, of course, I have been following your father for a long time if you do happen to watch my show, and I'm glad he's doing better. And he's an incredible man. The man behind the screen says, since we moved into our house, my wife and I used half of our yardscape to grow some of our food. Doesn't work out well. It doesn't always work out, but well worth it when it does. I absolutely agree with you. And that is our super chats. Sharon, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. And I really do appreciate your expertise.
It was great. Thank you. I love the conversation. So glad everybody had these great comments too.
Yeah. And I'll be hitting you up because it feels like I sense a really good something, you know, in the future with an expert that doesn't believe veganism is the way, you know, maybe they're, right. And I think that's a good conversation that we need to have because I like that. We can disagree and have conversations and it's okay. That's fine. Exactly. You know? We don't have to get angry about it. So
exactly. Let's have a conversation and let people make up their own minds. That's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah. So why don't you tell everyone, you know, what you're doing, how to follow you and everything. I'll just to send us off before we end the show.
So you can check out my site at SharonPalmer.com. I know you see my name there, Sharon Palmer. And I have a blog that you can sign up for with my recipes. I do all of my own recipes come from my kitchen. And, you know, you can also follow me at Sharon Palmer RD. On Instagram and Twitter and then on Facebook and, you know, keep engaged with what's going on in the nutrition world. And also, right, you know, you can get my books at my site too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you everyone for joining in tonight. I will be back tomorrow at 6:30. Of course, I go live on my Twitch channel tonight at around 10 p.m. So I will see you there if you join me there. If not, I will see you tomorrow at 6:30 on Adamcast IRL. I will have Anomaly. He's joining me. He's another YouTuber. I don't know if you know him, but either way, thank you very much for joining me, Sharon. And I will see everyone later. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a wonderful night.